Good morning. Once again, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak here today. And we're going to start out with a few statistics. I'll just jump right into it. Since 1963, violent crimes have increased over 500%. Illegitimate births have increased 400%. Divorces have increased 400%. Children living in single-parent homes have increased 300%. Teenage suicide has increased 200%. And SAT scores have dropped almost 80 points, despite the huge increase in the amount of money that our country spends on education. Another alarming statistic is that crimes of a very young age, between the ages of 7 and 12, have gone up almost 60%. And the question is, why has this happened? There are many reasons, but one of the major causes, of course, is the breakdown of the home. Everyone, Christian or not, seems to realize that the role of a mother is very important. It's vital to the survival of the family. Our society today, though, tends to think of fathers as a take-it-or-leave-it kind of situation. We can get by without them. One feminist is quoted as saying that fathers are biologically necessary, or a biological necessity, but a social absurdity. Well, we know from God's word and God's standpoint that statement is actually absurd. God instituted the family, a husband and a wife, and he had excellent reasons for that. It takes both to function in the way that he prefers for the family to function. I'm not saying that single parent families can't make it, but the way God would like it to work is the way that he instituted it. Even research today points to the fact that a father can bring strength and stability to the home. And of course, this is all if the father is acting the way he's supposed to and the mom acts the way that she's supposed to. But if we're living a Christ-like life, then the family will be strong. Together, mothers and fathers bring a blend of spiritual and emotional stability to a home. I know all different kinds of families. Sometimes the man is the strong one, sometimes the woman is the strong one. But it takes both a strong personality and a nurturing personality to give a balance to life. But often, even if both parents are there physically, the mother and the father can spiritually or psychologically check out. All too often we get caught up in our own things. We forget to sometimes we forget about the seasons of our life. I remember when Sheila and I were married, we were very young, as all of you know. We bought Legos and we bought coloring books and we'd spend time together just coloring and playing with Legos. Well, now it's not just the two of us anymore. We have to spend time with our children. We have to spend time investing in them. And maybe, since we're started so young, maybe we'll be done. We'll still be young and we can spend that time together, maybe break out the Legos again or whatever. But I still like them. I think she's stepped on too many of them. But this is a season that we're in. Right now we're in the season of parents. And we need to invest our time in our children and be the parents that God has asked us to be. Now, I was actually very startled when I started looking at statistics as to how much time parents spend with their children. And the reason I was startled was because the statistics show that parents spend almost twice as much time with their children now than they did 50 years ago. The reason this was startling to me was just because all those statistics I just read to you, was it 56 years ago, there's been a huge increase in crime and suicides and single-parent homes. So I wondered why this is. If we're spending more time with our children as a society, why is society getting worse? Well, history and God's Word shows us that if the homes are not strong, then our society and the church will not be strong either. So just because we're spending more time doesn't mean that we're investing in the home the way that we should. We're not strengthening the family the way we should. I thought maybe I printed this last night and then I worked on it more this morning and I printed it again. I thought I had the wrong copy. I'm sorry. failure for fathers to take responsibility as spiritual leaders in the home and as the family, according to the guidelines that God has given us through His Word, to be giving, loving, serving, caring, and strong leadership are part of the problem. Failure to spend quality times with our families. These failures are evident in the world around us. We all can say that our life is hectic, that we're very busy, and most of us choose to make our lives busy. We choose to do activities that take us away from the family structure. So even though the study showed that more and more parents are spending more time with their children, I got to seeing that not only I was confused by that, but a lot of other people were. As I was reading on the internet, people decided to track the amount of time that they were spending with their children as well. And what most of them found was, unless they counted the time that they spent while they were preparing a meal, while the child might be in the same room as them, or they spent the time that they were riding in the car to or from school or work or an activity, they had a hard time coming up with that extended amount of time that the study says there was. And even Sheila and I, though we homeschool our children, it seems like we're always around them, it's very hard for us to spend quality time with our children. And it's because so many things in the world take our time, and we allow so many things in the world to take our time. She, obviously, is much better at spending quality time with them than I am. When I'm not at work, I think of the to-do list. You know, I got a cracked window right now I need to fix, and I've got, I need to fix the transmission leak on my vehicle and all these other things. And yes, I do that a lot of times with some of my children. They work alongside me, and that is good. But just spending time with them is not enough. As we know, or I think we all know, that we need to spend time in them, instructing them in the way that the Lord wants them to live their lives. And the steps that the church is taking and having them memorize God's Word is a very good start. And we can be working on that at home as well. You can ask my boys. There's a lot of ebb and flow to me. I'm a very selfish person, and sometimes I would like to just spend time with my wife. And sometimes I make arrangements to spend time with my wife instead of maybe investing in the children the way that I should. It is important, don't get me wrong, I think it's very important for men to date their wives, even in every season of their life, because if we don't have a strong marriage, then we won't have a strong family either. So don't take it as I'm saying you should spend time with your children and not your wives, because that's not what I'm saying. There's a balance. So we need to invest in our children. We need to invest in them. And then another problem that we have in society today is I think most of us have heard someone say, "My wife and I are going to leave that decision up to our children when they are old enough. We don't want to force our opinion on them." You know, this is a trend in society, which is fine if you're talking about piercing their ears. But when it comes down to knowing who God is and what God wants out of their lives, it's absurd. We don't want to live that way. We don't want to let our children be children when they're 30 years old and not understand who God is and how He wants them to live their lives. How many of us would let our children have an open mind about school? Well, you can decide whether you want to go to school or not. You may not want to go to school until you're 16. Well, that's not likely going to happen. If they spend all their time playing, they're going to want to spend all their time playing. Have you ever had a boss that said, "Well, you can just come to work, clock in, you know, if you feel like working, go ahead and do it. If you don't feel like working, don't worry about it. I'm open-minded about it. You choose." Well, most of us wouldn't have a job very long if that's how we approached our jobs. So what can we do? So now let's get into what we can do. And there was a mix-up in my brain. I looked at the schedule, and Maverick was supposed to do the reading today in my mind. I forgot there was a switch last week. So I was going to have him read Psalm 78 to us, or at least part of Psalm 78, which we'll touch on part of it. But Psalm 78 addresses the importance of the home and the vital role of parents, especially fathers. This is a psalm of instruction covering Israel's history from Egypt to the Exodus to the time of David. It records the failure of the people of Israel, but it also records the steadfastness and faithfulness of the Lord and His wonderful works and mercy. Ironically, their greatest failures are their failures as parents. In this psalm, we have the words of, I'm probably going to say this wrong, Asaph? I think it's Asaph, who longs to be heard because he is speaking important word of God and to God's people, one that is absolutely essential to the preservation of society and the purpose of God's people in society. So we're going to look at Psalm 78. We're going to read the first 8 verses here. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and know, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from our children, but tell the generation to come to praise the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that we should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise to tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. So the key is the end there. Well, actually, the key is the whole thing. You know, God instructed them to teach their children continually of the great things that He had done, remind them of the great things that we have done. As Brandon did in the lesson, our table this morning, he reminded us of the great country that we live in and the freedoms that we have. We need to be reminding our children of the blessings that we get by serving a living God, the blessings that He has bestowed upon us by offering us salvation. We see in the psalm that parents failed to prepare themselves and the hearts of their children to remember the blessings and faithfulness of God. Time and time again, God saved them, prepared them, provided for them, and time again, they forgot. And they didn't remember those blessings and chose to sin against God. So what does the originally, this was targeted mainly at fathers, and because I'm a father, and when I study, it generally has to do with things I need to work on. So in my notes here, I said, what is God's instruction for fathers? In Deuteronomy 6:5, we have the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Now, we're going to read the first 6 verses of, first 9 verses of Deuteronomy, because what comes before that commandment is good for us to know as well. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God and keep all of His statutes and commandments, which I command you, you and your sons and your grandsons, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that you may be well, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk on the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I've known people who have taken this very literally. I know people who say this is the whole reason why they homeschool. But there are just as many problems in families that are homeschooled as there are in families that don't. I know people who have Bible scriptures on their walls and their families are a mess. It's not just about putting the scripture on the walls. It's about putting the scripture in our hearts. And it's about putting the scripture in the hearts of our children and helping them to understand that God didn't just give us the scriptures to read on Sunday. He gave it the scriptures so we know how to live our lives. Israelite history reveals that a father was to be diligent in instructing his children in the ways and the words of the Lord for their own spiritual development and well-being. And honestly, in my life, in the life of my family, I'll be the first to confess that my wife has done a much better job making sure that our children learn memory verses and are spending time in the Word. Here in the last few months, I've done a lot better at being part of that because I've decided that, as you know, we do family integrated worship. Our children sit with us during the class, but I wanted them to be on the same pace with your guy or with the other children in the church, so that when they come up front, they can answer questions and be involved. So every morning, or we try to every morning, sit down and go over the things that they're learning here at church as well, so that we're unified in where everyone is studying. It's been good for me because it's compelled me, I guess I should say, to be more involved. You can ask my teenagers. I've spent time. I was doing the study with them, and some of them can probably tell you exactly how many months it's been since we've continued that study. I bought the next book, but I've failed to continue on in that path, and I need to pick it back up. So anyway, those are some failures on my part, and I see them, and by doing the study has helped me convict me that I need to get back into it. I need to spend my time wisely. I may teach them how to work on cars or on lawnmowers or, you know, build things, but if I'm not teaching them the ways of the Lord, then I'm failing as a father. So, Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. So, to train indicates the first instruction that a father and mother gives a child. Training is designed to make it clear on how they are to conduct themselves in life. We potty train our children because we want them to understand how to use the bathroom. We have to train our children to be nice to babies and to other children and to share. It's not something that generally just naturally happens. Our employers train us to be good employees and to do our jobs in a way that would be pleasing to them. So, we need to make sure that we're training our children to understand God's word and how to conduct themselves in the world. Because that's a much bigger thing than whether or not they have potty accidents or... because our eternal life is more important than the things of this world. So, it's our duty to train our children to understand God's word. Ephesians 6:4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. I heard a man from the church, a man give a lesson on this, actually at a homeschool conference, on this exact verse, and it was very touching to me, or very compelling to me. So this passage is telling us how we are to train our children. First, we are not to provoke, irritate, anger, humiliate, or degrade them. These are all tactics that sometimes we could use, or teachers in the past may have used, or maybe your parents used on you. These methods might get the result that we want at the time, but it damages the relationships that we have with them. And when they are not with us, they probably will not continue on in the way that we want them to go. When they are free from our care, they'll probably go on down their own path. Instead, we are to bring them up, which in my mind demonstrates, you know, helping someone up. You know, bringing them up, come alongside. We're supposed to help, encourage, and support them. I'm not saying that we will not have times where we anger or provoke our children. This happens, and partly because they are not as mature and they don't understand what our motives are sometimes when we're teaching them. But what I am saying is that our teaching tactics should not include these negative aspects, the negative methods of training. Chastening, discipline, and counsel by the Word of God, giving both reproof and encouragement, is at the core of the word admonition. So we're supposed to use God's Word to admonish our children. Not only do we reproof them, but we also encourage them using God's Word. We must, as Ephesians 5:16 tells us, redeem the time, because the days are evil. We must be wise and purposeful with the time that we have. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we're using the Scripture to prepare ourselves, and we're using the Scripture to prepare our children, they will have the tools that they need to handle anything life throws at them. One last passage I would like to leave you with is one that we also all know, just like the passage I just read in 2 Timothy 3:16. It is 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase in more ungodliness. If we study God's word, we will have the knowledge at our disposal and understand how to discipline and train our children. We will have examples that God has given us through his word that we can use to instruct and teach our children on the things that please God and the things that don't please God. There's two songs, well, there's more than that, I'm sure, but there's two songs that came to my mind as I was studying this of why we get distracted. And one of them was called Cats in the Cradle. I'm sure most people know that because it's been made by every genre, I think, of music in the world. This description of the man is too busy chasing his dreams, and he tells his child to spend time with him later on. Well, when the child's old enough and the dad wants to spend time with him, he can't, because the child is off chasing his own dreams, spending time with his friends and doing his own thing. And the other one, I don't remember the song as well, but it's basically the same principle. I think it was a country song, The American Dream. So spending so much time chasing the American dream that we lose sight of the foundation of our home, and we lose sight of the most important thing that we can be doing, the most important responsibility God has given us as parents, is to raise our children to fear and love the Lord. So, I hope that you understand that by no means do I think I have this all figured out. As I said, when I study something like this, or when I study most things, it's more for my benefit than it is for everyone else. I just hope to share with you maybe something that I learned as I studied. This has been a convicting study for me, and Lord willing, I'll be able to get back into doing the studies with my children and investing time in them wisely. And I ask that you consider studying the Word and devoting your time to the children as well. They are our future, and I know I've caught myself several times in society, out in the world, looking around and saying, wow, these people are our future. This is the future of our country. Where are we headed? And we need to do the best we can to prepare our children to follow the Lord so that they can be a good influence for the world. So, if you're here today and you have not obeyed the gospel and you would like to, we give you this opportunity as we have the invitation song to come forward and to give your life to the Lord, repent of your sins, and have them washed away in baptism. Thank you.